not very comfortable, but
anyway, I will change.
Without saying much ado, I would allow the presenters firstly to introduce their delegation, and on behalf of the portfolio committee, once again, we also do welcome you. Feel comfortable, give us the information, we'll listen, and we'll pose questions after your presentations. We are all ears and eyes. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Honourable Chairman, honourable members, the Committee of Transport delegation, ladies and gentlemen, I find it quite a privilege to be sitting here today and giving this presentation after having spent the majority of the last 9 years of my life passionately involved in exploring various of the issues that have been raised here today. And I understand the kind of challenges that await you all in the decisions that you have to make, and that's why I'm delighted to be able to share what we've got here today. First of all, my presentation agenda, I'd like to put together the objective and what I would like to achieve out of this presentation, which should not take more than about 15 to 18 minutes. I'd like to introduce myself and my colleague so that you understand exactly who we are and where we come from and the organization. And then I would like to address primarily the three issues that we placed on the agenda. One is, why are there no BEE airlines in South Africa? It's 18 years later. And we're not even talking about the transformation of the skills. We're talking about the actual involvement in investment in BEE airlines. Two, why do generally low-cost carriers fail? They don't just fail, they seem to plummet out of the sky with disastrous effects to the economy and to the passengers. Three, what is it that generally continues to exclude the previously disadvantaged from aviation travel in South Africa? Now, that's my agenda. Let's start right from the top. My presentation objective is to inform this Portfolio Committee of Transport in Parliament of the alternatives which already exist and which have been developed over the last 9 years, which specifically address the three aviation issues raised, so that strategies can be implemented to finally assist in the transformation of aviation here in South Africa, and as was mentioned by my colleague next to me here, into Africa itself. To start with, who are we? Dani Kutsia, my colleague who's sitting next to me here, is the chairperson of Standby Travel Limited. What is Standby Travel Limited? It's a public company. It has a vision. It has a determined passion to be the largest broad-based black economic travel organization registered on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Profitable and effective. Incidentally, it just includes as one of its elements an integrated transport aviation model, Standby Express, which is the model, funnily enough, that Santago Airlines tried to or started discussing and negotiating to implement when they launched their proof of concept last year in September. We are not Santago Airlines, but that is the model that they would like to be adapting when they've approached us, and we've been discussing it with them in terms of becoming part of this broad-based black economic environment. Dani Kutsia, 35 years involvement in aviation. We're not talking about, we were talking about the skills earlier, but we're talking about a person who has had a broad-based, a basis of skills during those 35 years, which include airline ground management, airline passenger management, airline cargo management, airline management itself, airport management, it's not even down there, airline consultancies, and airline startups. He is possibly one of the most sought-after individuals from overseas people who want to find out about aviation in South Africa from a broad base, not from a specific base. He is a founder member and originator of the entire Standby Travel business model. So this is the man sitting next to me right here. He has got the aviation background and the aviation knowledge and skills and attitude, because it's all about ASK, attitude, skills, and knowledge, to be able to look outside of the box in order to be solving some of the aviation challenges that stand before us today. From my perspective, I've been 25 years involved in business project management consultancy. And funny enough, a lot of that consultancy took place right here in South African National Parliament over the last 15 years. I've had 8 years involvement in aviation, only 8 years. I'm a project manager. I am not an aviation expert. Dani's the aviation expert. I am also a founder member and an originator with Dani of the Standby Travel Limited business model. I do not want to talk about us anymore or in terms of our qualifications going ahead. Now, let's get straight into the meat of the talk, because I know that time is of significant importance at this stage. But why is there no, are there no BEE airlines? And I think it's very significant, it was mentioned by the talker before me, that we need to have a look at the history of low-cost carriers here in South Africa. Low-cost carriers have only been around for just on 20 years. As far as the history of a country is concerned, as far as history of aviation is concerned, that's a very short period of time. Up until 1991, there was one domestic carrier, and that carrier was South African Airways. I have now read reports that South African Airways at that stage even had offices inside the Department of Transport. They weren't controlled by, they actually had, they ran the offices there from inside the Department of Transport. It was 99% white, 95% male. Now listen, and not a hell of a lot has changed since then, eh? So we're talking about small amounts of transformation. It was a highly skilled operation, and they tried to embrace those skills just to themselves and not share those skills. They had an outstanding international record. Based on the International Civil Authorities and their results, their stats on fatalities per hour flown, South African Airways was up there with the best in the world in terms of the standards. They totally dominated the domestic market to the extent that, I've heard reports of the rudeness or the extent to which they try to exclude other airlines coming in and the controls they had. And funny enough, despite all those controls, they were still funded, as they are being today, by taxpayers' money. Now, in 1991, legislation was changed to allow low-cost carriers to come in. The legislation was changed because of pressure from a license holder called Trek Airlines, and they started the organization Flightstar. Flightstar, in 1991, took off like a house on fire. It became a choice, an alternative choice. It had outstanding, well, I'm only talking about the experience that was perceived by passengers, outstanding service, outstanding attitude, very embracing to changes within South Africa, and very popular. In fact, knowing personally some of the people that were directly involved with the launch of that airline, targets, passenger and utility targets that were set for 5 to 6 years were achieved within the first 12 months of operation. We're talking about an airline that was going places almost profitable from day one. But in 1994, Flightstar was purchased outright by the Department of Railways and Harbours, etc. On that night that it was purchased, it was closed down. Now, there's nobody can tell anybody, there's no evidence of exactly why South African Airways decided to, or Department of Transport, and that's railways in those days, decided to close it down. But we've left with a whole lot of questions unanswered. But let's see what's happened in the last 20 years. We've had Sunair, we've had Air the Blue, we've had SA Express, we've got Airlink, we had Phoenix Air, we had Nationwide, Sun Air, the red one, we've had Kalula, we've had Airtime, which people don't even know existed, we've had Comair, still there, Intensive Air, Velvet Sky, One Time, and Mango. These are all low-cost carriers that have been introduced to the market, all going for the same share of passengers. In South Africa today, despite the numbers of our population, there are only 5 million people in South Africa that have ever even been into an aircraft. The rest of the market are excluded. And these airlines all went targeted the same passengers, not a new market. Let's see what's happened to those if we look at the next slide here. We've got all of the ones in red are history. Now if you look at the bottom right hand of the screen, you'll see that's a 55% failure rate. Question number one. How many people, when they assess their potential to be profitable in the future, would look at this and say, am I going to get into civil aviation? Am I going to get into airline management? Am I going to start an airline? With a proven track record of a 55% failure rate over the last 20 years. More importantly, let's look at the survivors. Kulula, it's in cahoots with Comair and British Airways. It's got a partnership. Now, I know that we mentioned SA Airlink. I've put on there, but SA Express and Mango, they're aligned with South African Airways. Airlink is also perceived to be, despite the fact that my esteemed colleague next to me says, no, they've only got 1%. One Time Holdings, my honourable member, you referred to that earlier and their Zanzibar trip. One Time Holdings, despite every effort that they are doing, they are battling. How do I know that? Well, just look at their share. In 2011, their share price was just on 1 rand. In 2012, it's on 17 cents per share. What are we doing to support these airlines so that they can introduce and embrace everyone into the marketplace? One Time Holdings certainly needs a big, big support. From two perspectives. One is just in being able to build up their capacity, but two, what hasn't been mentioned here today is that the quality of maintenance in aviation is significant, and the Honourable Chairperson at the time mentioned all the other skills. Maintenance is one of the key skills in terms of aviation. Those one-time aircraft requiring new engines very, very soon. They require major, and does One Time have the resources to do it? And will they be supported when it needs to take place? Let's have a look at this. If we just look at the equipment of aviation, not any of the other elements, I mean there are hundreds, we could be talking all day here, but if we just look at the one element, we have South African Airways, and what are they flying with at the moment? 737-800s, as you would know. They're highly efficient, highly effective machines. That if you had to go around and say, give me one of the greenest machines in terms of emissions and effectiveness and distance, well, they take 186 passengers. They burn between Cape Town and Johannesburg around about, depending on weather and altitude, etc., etc. So we can't be specific on this, about 3,600 litres of fuel burn just on the one trip for the 180 pax. Now let's see what our low-cost carriers are up against when we try to compete with that. We're talking about One Time, and I'm just going to put down, I'm not going to put down the name of the aircraft, I'm just going to put down the older aircraft. And One Time, their aircraft service 140 pax. So we're down there on between 25 and 30% less passengers, less income. And what do they burn between Cape Town and Johannesburg? 6,000 litres. They burn more than a third more fuel. So in terms of being able to take a low-cost carrier who's with old aircraft and put them together with South African Airways, funded in order to get these state-of-the-art aircraft, it's a no-brainer. Why aren't BEE organizations involved in aviation? Because we are competing against that monster there who does very, very well in terms of efficiencies, financial and otherwise, and still needs to be funded by government. That's the problem. Said under your breath. We pay for it. We
can
we
just allow them to continue? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. called gas guzzlers, a third less income, a third more fuel, expensive to maintain. And that is just one of pages and pages of comparisons that we could put together. So why are there no BEE airlines again? They have fear of repeating the 55% failure. There is very little aviation knowledge within that market sector. There have been no capacity building programs by government or South African Airways outside of what we've said. 18 years later, we've heard all the questions about the kind of capacity that should have been there but isn't there yet. No national projects to pass on aviation skills. When I first was introduced into this aviation model that Donnie's sitting next to me introduced to me, he said, when we were retired out of aviation, we know that we are sitting, us whiteys or mlungus, we're sitting with all the skills, but when are we going to be asked to pass on these skills? And they are a vast amount of skills. There's no cash available from government till recently, until it was announced just in the last 12 months that no cash is going to be made to try and boost various sectors within the economy so that we can employ more people and increase the skills level. And finally, there has been up until now no published business plan which includes broad-based black economic empowerment. It doesn't exist. Where are these business plans that embrace black economic empowerment so that we can move forward, that include the skills required? So, why do previously disadvantaged individuals feel totally excluded? Why are they not embraced into what's happening? Let's explain this a bit further. Every single day in South Africa, 16 million commuters take to transport facilities, being bus, rail and taxi, not aviation. That's 16 million. I've been reliably informed, whether it's in the corporate sector officially or whether it's in a very ad hoc sector, that somewhere between 250 and 300 million rand gets spent on these sectors before I wake up in the morning. These are commuters. Now, are these people being touched? What ability have these commuters got to access aviation? Is there anything that says, please come, Yisa, come, let's get nothing? It's more costly for these people, I'm talking about these commuters, to go and take that taxi, because remember, it has to be a meter taxi because there's no facilities at the airports. A meter taxi would cost them a fortune of money, and if they go with their cash to an airline, whether it's South African Airways or any other airline, and they say, I want to buy an airline ticket, whether it's on Air Link to Mthatha or whether it's East London Port, anywhere else, do you know they're going to be paying up to 200 Rand more because they don't have a bank account and because they don't have a credit card? This doesn't welcome these. There's a fear of airports. We've done lots of exercises within, as you know, our potential partnership within the taxi industry. And we know from what they tell us that there is an intrinsic fear of aviation, and there's an intrinsic fear of these smart, wonderful AXA airports that you've got. Nothing welcomes them, and there's a fear of intimidation because they come from an era that never flew, so who's going to embrace them and who's going to educate them into moving into aviation? It's far too expensive for our average commuter. Far, far too expensive. They're completely excluded by economics. And the mechanism for them to pay does not exist. Most of the mechanisms that take place at the moment involve information technology or internet technology. And the majority of the people that we want to embrace into aviation don't have that online capability or that payment system. No credit card available. So why do they get totally excluded? And we continue with this. There are no taxi ranks at AXA airports. They're excessively expensive to get there. Now, this is very, very important because the standby model says that we know that there are thousands of seats available on airlines that go empty each and every single day. But the airlines themselves can't give away their seats to previously people who were excluded. So these airlines are currently prepared to fly with empty seats. Mm. You know, I live on the railway line for my sins, and every morning I see the train pass me, it's empty. And 15 minutes later it comes back past me and it's full. And I know that that empty leg that it took cost Metro Rail exactly the same amount of money as the full leg. The cost was the same. But no one is trying to fill that empty leg, even on airlines. I know that if I go to an airline currently, right now, and I said, here's 700 Rand in cash, if I walk up and I said to them, I will buy that empty seat that's about to take off, they'll say, no, you can't have it. So there's no model that says there are spaces available, there are methods of being able to get previously excluded people into aviation. Let's take this one step further. There are between 40 and 75,000 seats flying around South Africa every day. That's a big difference, 40 and 75. But because in peak periods it could go up to 75, but on a Sunday, in a slow period, it could be as low as 40,000. That's flying around all the various airlines each and every single day. Now, the South African Airways published utility for 2001 said that for the average year, 2011, 28% of all our seats were empty. That's published. I'm not even making that up. It's published in their annual report. Now, on a very good day, South African Airways says their utility is 90%. That's on a good day, because sometimes they're flying empty legs, and certainly between 11:30 in the morning and 3:30 in the afternoon, they're very, very few, there are lots of empty seats while the planes are getting positioned back. Now, if these unsold 10%, now let's just say it's a good day, not the 28%, if these unsold 10% were sold at discounts to an exclusive PDI market, then these airlines would get an extra 500 million rand into their coffers per annum. 500 million rand. And more people, a million extra people would fly. Without it costing a single penny to anybody. Airlines would no longer need the extent to the subsidies they required. Previously disadvantaged markets would be able to fly. Maintenance would be improved. Why is there low utility? Utility here is referring to how many seats get sold on aircraft. Airlines have a need to sell the seats at a higher price. If they had to lower their prices just before the flights were going to be taken off, then everybody would wait until the last minute before they bought their tickets. Airlines have long distance when they open their reservations, and everybody buys at a cheaper rate, and as the flight gets closer, so the rate gets more and more expensive. However, the standby model that came out of Dani says that in the last 48 hours before the flight comes over, each of those airlines knows exactly how few airline tickets are going to be taken up. The empty seats, they know exactly. In fact, I've even spoken to airlines where they say, we know on the 13th of June, we can tell you exactly what our utility will be within 2 or 3%. They've got very sophisticated computers. Now, that's the one thing. They need to sell at the higher prices. They cannot do this themselves. South African Airways cannot sell cheaper prices themselves. They need to compete for the same passenger, because at the moment the low-cost carriers are all competing for those 5 million passengers. They're not competing for any of the commuters that are taking by taxi. We are looking for 1% of those commuters to fill all those seats that are currently available without it costing any of the airlines one penny. They're continuously having price wars for the same passenger, and they remain low utility rates. They do not, their load factors are not increasing. They're battling. So, here's the solution. And when I say here's the solution, I say that Dani and myself and our colleagues have been working on this now for many years, and we plowed a great deal of money into this. After our discussions with the various airlines, we knew that we would not be able to introduce this model unless we could prove to them that we could control the traffic, that we're not going to be selling their seats to a market that already exists in terms of buying their seats. So we don't, they don't want us to sell a 500 rand seat to a person who was paying 2,000 rand yesterday. So it's got to be focused on a previously disadvantaged market. And do we have a capacity to do it? Yes. This has been created. That foundation is completely built. Is there a simple and easy payment system for all? Yes. The biggest stumbling block when we did our investigations was that people are unable to pay. We have solved that problem. We have put together a payment mechanism through an organization called Mvela, a mobile banking, which is who has a platform at APSA. It's an empowerment platform, and it's specifically designed for transfers of funds for people who previously did not have that capacity. We have put together a system because if a person from a previous environment, disadvantaged environment, wanted to buy an airline ticket, what do they do? Do they go to a Checkers? Do they go to a ShopRite? And if they did, what's going to happen when they get there? What has been done here? We've created an environment where there are over 3,000 remote stations all over the country. Even from, and you'll see in the bottom corner of that there, it's a freestanding mobile unit that is wireless operated, which is directly linked to the internet for booking reservations on any airline throughout South Africa, including when we launch our own Standby Express, which is imminent. Whether it's going to be called Santago or not, that's also being discussed, but definitely ours is our Santago Express, which is designed, and that model is designed for the previously excluded. The payment systems are directly linked to the airlines. The reservation systems directly linked to the airlines. It's cost effective for the people. It's efficient and effective for the people. And most importantly, it's owned by the people. Now, what we've done is we have allocated a public company, and the majority, there's an enormous chunk of shares that have been available, made available, so that people can buy shares, not mulungus. We talk about people on the ground who, yeah, of course, that's the bottom line is that our objective is to be the largest broad-based black economic organization on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange within the transport sector. And there's nothing that's going to falter us from that particular objective. So, there's the solution continued. Target market is only 0.01% of daily commuter market. Now, we know that when in general economics, if you've got a brand new idea and you're aiming for 1%, it's a chance that you're going to be quite successful. We're aiming for even less than that because we don't have capacity. We don't have the aircraft, and none of the other airlines have got the aircraft to fill that capacity either. There's a commuter list of 15 million people that are traveling on the taxis and the trains every day, and our target is to get to 1.01% of that market, and all our airlines will be full. The integrated transport system mentioned by our Honourable Chairperson is part of the standby airline model. It's from a taxi hub to a taxi hub, one ticket. So people are brought to an airport, wherever the airports are, by choice, into the popular airports, actually embraced through the airport and onto the aircraft, embraced off the aircraft and back into the taxis and taken back to the hubs. It's an integrated system, one ticket. With popular destinations, not destinations decided by the current AXA airports, but where we know, because of the amount of investigation we've done, where we know the long haul taxis are operating at the moment, and the ones that are specifically creating the carnage on the roads. We will not be, and we do not compete with the existing market. Will this work? Yes, because our model, or the model that's available now open to the marketplace, does not compete for the same passengers. We are directly targeting a completely brand new traveler, brand new to the aviation market, and it's embracing previously excluded into the aviation market. One of our backbones there is because why are people not volunteering via the various demonstrations or presentations made at the school level? Because they're no peers. Very few peers are flying. Therefore, aviation isn't something that they embrace themselves towards. Our objective is to get people flying so that other people will want to be involved in aviation, so that your schools will not be able to cope with the applications. Easy access to shares, airline ownership, very easy, part of the model that's been put out. Owned by the people, strategy, skills, handover. So in other words, the model that we've got is that even though this airline, when it's launched, will not be managed even vaguely by the Santagos of this world, but by airline professionals, but there is a strategic skills handover based on exactly the kind of stuff that you're going to be presenting back to the portfolio committee soon. Thousands of employed countrywide. So there, I've told you about a couple of things. Let's have a look at what we covered. Why are there no BE airlines in South Africa? We covered probably 10 or 15% of the key reasons. Why do generally low-cost carriers fail? We covered another 20-30% of the key reasons. And what is it that generally continues to exclude the previously disadvantaged from aviation travel in South Africa? Key to this presentation. Well, the new aviation models we have thought through, and we have mentioned that they are now available and they are operating as we go ahead now. We are not funded by government. We are not funded by any IC. We have done this ourselves because we know the kind of challenges that are facing South Africa, and we need those challenges to be fulfilled. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our world of standby. It's the world and the aviation idea that we call With Wings. Thank you, Mr. Chambers.
Thank you, sir, for that presentation. Brief, but very intense. I am not sure whether does Mr. Dani wants to say one or two things.
No, I think when there's the questions come, if there's questions, then I will probably address it like that.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, there is the presentation conducted by Mr. Dani.
Alan.
Yeah. Because Dan is the other one. There was Dani Craven, Dani Herber, Dani could see it now. I open the floor, ladies and gentlemen, for any questions. Can you please switch off your mic? Thank you, sir. Okay, thank you. Mr. Krum, you'll be number one, two, and then number three, Honorable Member Dagude, in that order. Honorable Member.
Thanks, sir, Acting Chair. I found this a very intriguing presentation, mainly because I wasn't really sure why we're having it at all. Not that it wasn't interesting and informative, quite the opposite, fascinating. And I'll just pick up one small point before I get a substantive point. The explanations given as to why the previous low-cost carriers competing with SAA failed. Now, I think the pages are numbered, but it says reasons, example, equipment only. I mean, if someone said to me, we're going to go into business and we're going to compete with equipment that is not as profitable because it can't carry as many paying customers. And it's not as efficient because it requires far greater amounts of fuel than our competitors. I wouldn't be at all surprised that after a year the share price dropped from 1 rand to 17 cents. I mean, who goes into business offering a lower income model and a higher cost model simultaneously? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me why anybody would want to start a business under those conditions. So my first question that I have is, if presumably these low cost carriers go to the marketplace and have a share issue and they raise money either on the development capital market or through other means, presumably they're going to go in with their eyes open. They're not going to want to risk millions and millions of rands of shareholders' money by starting out knowing they're going to have a disadvantage. So I don't really understand why that's the reason, because I find it very strange that anybody would actually want to compete under those circumstances. Now, I know the playing fields aren't level, and I wondered, and it's my first question, if it's got something to do with the fact that you have to buy the older aircraft because they're so much cheaper, because you know SAA can undercut you at any time. And it seems to me an absolutely bizarre situation that private companies have to compete with a state carrier, and whenever they lose money, and we're now told 55% of them lose so much they go out of business, and some of them, one of them apparently didn't even get off the ground, don't even know about them. If things go wrong, they go bankrupt straight away. Everybody loses their money. SAA clocks up hundreds of millions of rands worth of losses, and the taxpayers fund it. So SAA can never lose. They're always going to be bailed out by the taxpayer, and they can always undercut the low-cost carriers. Now, the solution, it would appear in some of the arguments, is that we must similarly intervene in the private market. What I don't understand is why we don't actually intervene on the other side. Because if SAA had to compete with everybody else, presumably then they'd have to take responsibility for their mistakes. They wouldn't be able to undercut it. It would be more profitable for the low-cost carriers who could buy a new aircraft. Everybody wins. Consumers get a better product. There's viable competition. We can have the price war that's not subsidized by the taxpayer. And it's just a thought, and I don't quite understand why we always got to intervene on the other side to compensate for the fact that SAA have an unfair advantage. But my bigger point is this, Chen, and it's more my substantive question. I understand what the standby travel BBBEE company is trying to do. And it's an elegant solution that we try to break into a new market to get around the problem that's been described as one cannot afford to cut the seats and therefore it's cheaper to fly a half-empty plane than having just very, very low cost seats that are sold. Because they're quite right. If people know you can get a ticket for 700 Rand, who's going to pay 2,000 Rand? Everybody will wait to the last minute, and then it's even less profitable. So I understand the logic of what the business model is. What I don't understand is why this hasn't been thought of or done before. Because if it was a viable alternative to carry on selling seats at a market-related rate and then top up and fill the plane right at the last minute, and you could make 500 million Rand extra, well, why hasn't that been done? Because no one can tell me that SAA wants to make those losses. It's very embarrassing for them and for the government when they do every year. And certainly the private companies can't afford to make a loss. So one would actually argue that it argues against rent-seeking and argues against profit-maximizing behavior that people haven't adopted this model. Until one hears the reasons given, which is that the companies are scared because they're going to actually losing the existing existing customers and paying a whole lot less, right? So you've got to tap into the new market. So that explains why they don't do it. But it's all based on something which is unstated. What would be the case if a white person from Danville, very poor, applied for one of these 700 Rand tickets? I mean, would he get it? And if Tokyo Sekwali, well, let's not mention a cabinet, let's say Patrice Motsepe, one of the richest men in the world, if he applied for a low-cost ticket on the grounds that he is a previously disadvantaged individual, because he was before freedom in this country, would he get that ticket? And is that what we're actually saying? Are we going to make this? I mean, how do we determine who qualifies for ticket and who doesn't? Is it going to be based on race? In which case, could we have a situation where very rich people from one group end up getting cheap tickets and very poor people from another group have to pay the expense one? Because that would be an outcome that I don't think anybody would want. Now, I mean, if you go on a flight, and I think every one of us flies fairly regularly, what we see on the airlines is what we might call the Irish coffee scenario, that you have the strange situation where the economy class is very much untransformed, if I can say that. Most of the people traveling on economy are actually white people. Okay? In business class, it's very rare now to find a majority of white people in business class. So it's a bit like affirmative action. The vast amounts of black people are left at the bottom, then there's a cream on the top, and then as they use the example, sort of, you know, chocolate sprinkled on the top, and that's the very, very rich black people. We all know there's a big problem with inequality amongst the black group. Okay. How are we going to prevent that situation? I'm finished here. How are we going to prevent that situation in this type of scenario where, if you're going to say it's restricted to PDIs, how can it be made sure? How can you ensure that it's actually poor people that benefit and not people based on race? Because then we're just reinventing the old problem again in another guise. Thanks.
The criteria. I hope that you do notes, because we'll take
all questions and then we'll respond because of time constraints. Honorable Ollis.
Thanks, Acting Chair. My colleague has already pointed out the two missing factors on your reasons page. The one is that the taxpayer is obviously funding SAA, and the other one is that what you don't say here is that one time and the other airlines, including Nationwide and so on, buy cheap second-hand planes. That's how they fund this. That's how they make this model work, and that's how it will continue to happen until we cut the cash from SAA. I mean, that's the way the model is going to carry on operating. Your particular model, I have several questions about it. One of the problems of the model is this. If I find out that I'm paying 2,500 rand for a ticket from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and you're selling tickets for 700 rand from Johannesburg to Cape Town, unless you exclude me on the basis of race, I'm going to not pay 2,500 rand for a ticket from Johannesburg to Cape Town. I'm going to come and buy the 700 rand ticket. So your theory is that you can block off these previously disadvantaged people somehow from the general market. And one thing that Gautrain learned by trying to do that is, if you try that, someone will find a way around it. So that if you want to charge 100 rand per ticket from the airport to Sandton, but only 22 rand from Rosefield to Sandton, whole taxi industry is grown up around taking people those 10 meters across the highway to get the 22 rand ticket. Same thing's going to happen here, I promise you. Promise you, same thing's going to happen. Is that previously disadvantaged people who are sitting in economy class and paying 2,500 rand per ticket are going to not buy that ticket if you have a 700 rand option. So I really don't understand how, when this market equalizes, there is still going to be a benefit. Aside from the fact that my colleagues already pointed out, how do you define who is previously disadvantaged? There are all sorts of problems with that. Just tell me if I understand your model correctly. It sounds to me like you're doing a package deal. In other words, I can't just buy a plane ticket. What I have to do is that I've got to buy the taxi either side, plus the plane ticket, and there's a package deal. And the way that you're segmenting the market and keeping ordinary customers out is that I've got to buy the taxi plus the plane ticket plus the taxi, etc., as a package deal. I don't understand how that's going to work either, because if it's 700 rand ticket, people will just forego the taxis and just buy the 700 rand tickets. You know, who needs the taxi? I'll drive myself to the airport and use the 700 rand ticket. That seems to be the one opportunity that you're trying to beat the others, is that you're providing this taxi facility either side. The second one is that you're operating 3,000 remote stations so that people can get around having to use credit cards and the internet facility. Am I correct in that? That your advantage is that you don't have to have a credit card and you don't have to buy the ticket online. Other airlines will learn quickly to do that, including SAA, who've got a vast network. And then you talk about these masses of people that are a new market that you want to target. Previously disadvantaged people who are currently using long distance taxis and buses. Essentially then you're doing also what the BRT is doing, which is competing with long distance taxis and buses. That essentially is going to end up in taxi war, where you're going to be saying, we're going to do those taxis, long haul taxis, out of business, because they're going to get out of those taxis and they get on our plane. Good grief. Good luck. That's all I can say. I obviously welcome new models. I'm not sure what you want from Parliament, and that's my final question. What do you want from us? I'm glad you're here, because I've learned all sorts of interesting new things about technology in remote places and all that. What do you want from us? Do you want funding? Do you want moral support? I'm not quite sure what it is that you want from Parliament, because you obviously came here at some expense and some trouble to ask us for something. Do we need to change the law? Do we need to invest in this as government? Do we need to give you some moral support? Do we need, is it a marketing I'm not sure why you asking for our input.
All right.
Thank you.
Mahmoud Dawood.
Thank you, Chairperson. Acting, of course. Firstly, I would like to welcome and appreciate the presentation by the presenter. Chairperson, I think this presentation is very good, especially for us who understand exactly where we come from as a nation and the legacy of apartheid. What is it that they have done to our people? This presentation, Honorable Chairperson, is good in a way that it will assist the previously disadvantaged individuals to have the luxury of flying than them being subjected to use road transportation only. And also, Chairperson, it also reminded us that the subsidized companies of these countries are owned by individuals. So there is a need to look into these smaller companies, also established by poor people from their poor background, to be subsidized. I think this presentation for me is trying to speak to issues like that, and also to transfer skills to those previously disadvantaged people. Chairperson, as a public representative representing those people in the rural areas and those who were previously disadvantaged, I understand this very well. I understand this very well, and also I believe that there is a need for our government to look into the subsidy model. I think there is a need for that, because currently very few companies owned by few family members are the one who get a better stake in government subsidy. I think this lower cost airlines will enable our people to be able to fly at a lower cost wherever they want to. Actually, I don't have a question, but just to appreciate this model. I think as a person who understands our history, which is still a constant reminder of where this country come from, I think you have my support. Thanks, Chair.
Just before yourself, Comrade Chair, there's a guy there who's been suffocated Now, he was indicating all the way to me. I don't know why you send him so much that he can't even speak. Now, it's your turn to speak. Honorable Member Bele.
Thanks, Chair. I want to be made to be at ease and to be comfortable. The quality of the presentation, I'm quite impressed with it. But I want to be made to be comfortable. Here is two gentlemen who are making this interesting presentation, and whose institution aspire to be the largest BBB travel organization. But then what becomes interesting to me is that the representation is lily white, it's two white gentlemen. And I'm sitting here and I'm asking myself, I almost laughed. You know? then I'm asking myself, how far are they at the moment in terms of shareholding of black people? So that we're able to can see, because if they're serious about this, seriousness has to start now. It doesn't start 3 months down the line, 4 years down the line. It starts now, so that we mean what we're saying. I would like to hear them responding to that. I'm not going to ask questions related to Santiago, because they indicated from the outright that they are not Santiago. So I will raise these questions when we have Santiago. On the solution, the slide that deals with solution continued. The last bullet, where they're saying thousands employed countrywide. Based on the presentation, I could see that a lot of research has been done, and clearly you know what you are talking about. But I was quite amazed by this bullet that you are more generic. I would have loved it if you could be specific to say how many jobs, specific jobs, would be created. I would have loved to hear that, sir, instead of this general message. I would thank you, Chairperson, for being so good to me.
The next member would be the Honourable Member Motsepe, and I hope that you are not going to respond to the richest person, but you will respond as an Honourable Member. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I was just willing to buy the shares because we are rich at all. I was scared when I say S. See this document say stand by. I was thinking that maybe it's the flight that is going to help people while there is no flight. Now, inside there are many issues. Ntatembele, you take my words when you say how many did you deploy or trained? I think Tala it in South Africa, because it seems we are getting lots of jobs. Not only two white men, but must be youth, disabled, women, lots of women, by the way, because there are those who are carrying everything. If the woman is not there in the house, there is no light. And then mine is that The thing that worries me is that if how many pilots do you have, it doesn't go to the same as Velvet, where people are willing to go to Velvet because it was cheaper. And then at the end, there's no more Velvet. People are standing in the queue for many times, many days in the airport while there is no, they didn't pay BP. Because it was a reasonable price. People were happy, say, those who can they can afford British and SAA, they go to Velvet. Now is the standby travel.
how are we going to take our people where they belong to? Because there's no more train, there's no more buses. Each and every person wants to see herself in the air. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The last question. Oh, thank you, Mama.
Thank you. And I don't have a question, I have a comment. Mm-hmm. I think that at portfolio committee level, or at parliament, for the past 18 years, we've been looking at inequalities from a racial perspective. We have not looked at issues of race and class. And to me, a disabled person who depends on a government social grant will forever be excluded from traveling by air if there is no intervention that identifies that person who is disabled and is dependent on government social grant in terms of how that person would access aviation. And to me, a cheaper seat in the same flight that I pay 2,000 or 3,000 rands is a solution for that person to access aviation. I also think ukuthi when we talk of the class in the society, we know that there are elderly people, pensioners. If my mother survives on a pension, but she can't fly to Cape Town to visit me because there is no cheaper seat that addresses the issue of that person who is a pensioner but also has the same voting rights in terms of quality standards and service, we will then be making a grievous mistake if we are not discussing those issues here. If we also think that so a pensioner is not a black person, is a pensioner across different racial groups, but it's a person who belongs to a particular class. It's a person who never worked or who worked but who receives a pension that doesn't allow that person to buy, to access aviation type of transport because of our income levels are belong to a particular low income group. Now we are beginning to talk class division in a society, inequalities in terms of class, not inequalities in terms of race. To me, a scholar, a person who doesn't earn any income, registered in a university, needs to travel, this person is going to become an asset in the country. But if that in your traveler wa lomntwana lo is carried by the parent, I think that we need to discuss those things. A person who is unemployed, not a pensioner, not employed, agana income, no source of income, but this person wants to travel. quicker and not be squashed in a taxi or a bus for 12 hours. That to me is a class issue. The low income earner, domestic worker, a gardener, person who works in the factory, we have used EPDI only to in relation to race. We have not used EPDI in relation to class, because there are PDIs to people who were PDIs in 1994 who are no longer PDIs. Umpisane went on record. He was a traffic cop in Etewini municipality. He went on record to say he no longer flies a commercial flight. He flies chartered. And he is a millionaire produced by this government. So he no longer qualifies to get a 700 seat. But next to Umpisane, there is a person who lived, who still may be a traffic cop, who can't afford a ticket, got 3,000 rand, wanted to come to Cape Town. So the issue of people not being able to travel should also be linked to tourism in this country, that we can't see and enjoy our country. There are people who can't see and enjoy their country because of the cost of traveling. Mm. And there is a particular class of people. And it is us who need to sit down and develop a criteria. Who are these people that belong to this particular class that needs to be assisted? I don't think that Ustandby has got anything that they want from us. In actual fact, we are learning from Ustandby. What has assisted me to understand the issues of class, race and class division is the fact that my daughter is in standby. She tells me, "Ukuthi ma, Thembelihle, my brother, doesn't earn. Yet she is paying the same amount of money when she has to travel. And is that not inequality that Thembelihle is subjected to buy a ticket, got 3,000 rand, yet he is a scholar. He lives in Pietermaritzburg, he's studying in Cape Town. If I was not a member of parliament and Thembelihle was not qualifying to be funded by a taxpayer because I am a member of parliament, what happens to other parents who are living in other areas and want to take their children to school in other areas?" That is the issue, Mina, I want us to discuss. The class division in our society and how does transport respond to issues of class. Thank you.
Thank you. For that note, I will not delve into the dialectics of what you are raising, because it's a debate, a very serious one, a fundamental one too, the class society. But what I want to say is that we need a country that is creative in thinking, you know, bringing new ideas, always bring new, fresh oxygen. If a country is that is really knowledgeable and to share ideas and to be proactive. And from other committees, it is not a sin to invite stakeholders from the various diverse society to come and make presentations. Especially when they want to help the country go forward. And I take this that also this presentation assists us, because we're not here to take decisions, but it's to learn more and to encourage more where it is necessary to understand how the things are working outside the precincts of parliament. In those few words, I would want you to comment or respond just for 5 minutes, because at 2 o'clock we are still going to EPCs. Over to you, ladies and gentlemen. And some of us are very hungry.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Chairperson or Acting Chairperson in Portfolio Committee. I just want to, I think I'll answer just one or two questions. I'll leave the rest to my learned colleague next to me. But why would airlines, why would somebody like one time start an airline if he knows he's going to go against a competition of the likes of SAA? Realize that one time started its low-cost airline in, I think it was in 2002 or 2003, and at that stage there was only only Kalula flying, the other one, which was also flying with older generation aircrafts. Mango came into the pot around about 2005, 2007, I think, with a brand new 737-800 directly from SAA. It's the same aircraft at SAA. So at that stage, they were, the low-cost carriers were operating the older generation aircrafts already. Now, aircrafts operate on a system where we call it ACMI basis, Aircraft Crew Maintenance and Insurance. And from that one, they work out the cost per hour of that aircraft. Now, bear in mind that when I'm talking about aircraft, then it means that a new generation aircraft, like that Mango is flying, or the one from SAA, is in a region of about $80 million. Where the ones that one time flies is in the region of about $5 million. So there's a vast difference on the hourly rate of that aircraft as well. However, I would say that about 60%, between 50% and 60% of the cost of an airline comes from the fuel of the aircraft. And that's why your new generation aircrafts can operate low cost carriers better than the rest can do. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is talking about that everybody will fly on a lower rate of tickets, and it was mentioned 700 Rand. 700 Rand is just a figure, speaking. It's not to say that will be that's the figure. It could be 100 Rand less than what it is at the moment. It's not, the figure is not important. But realize that the company's name is Standby. If you want to do business in Joburg, don't fly on this kind of thing because you are on standby for a certain period of time. That's not to say that you're going to fly on that specific time or that specific day or that one. It is still a standby model. That 60% of the commuters out there, trust me, wouldn't mind if they fly 5 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the afternoon. It's they will know at least 48 hours before departure that they are booked on a specific flight. But it's not to say that the aircraft of choice will be the one that he would be operating on. Talking about Velvet Sky, the Velvet Sky model, realize if we look at something like this, is that when you book a flight on something like Velvet Sky, you go to Velvet Sky and you book a seat on Velvet Sky. If you book a flight on Mango, you book a flight on Mango. When you book a flight on Standby Travel, it could be anybody. So realize that our scope is not only one airline, it is everything that's flying around. And we are going into a new system which is called the GDS system, Global Distribution System, which means that you can actually fly from Los Angeles to Hawaii if they're part of the system. You see, so our airline business just is not one specific airline, it is everybody. So realize that Velvet Sky would have been one of our service providers. That's the one thing. The mention of the low-cost carrier that we are looking at, that we developed or looked at in with Santago, was something like this, that they says they got so many people flying going to the Eastern Cape, but nobody can afford it going on SA Airlink going to Eastern Cape. And he says, can we have a look at the model that it can incorporate this? And that's the model that we looked at. And at the end of the day, it looks like if there's such a big traffic, it's a huge traffic going to the Eastern Cape, then it might work. But there's only one flight a day. So that's a small portion of the aviation world. Thank you. Is there any other questions, Ellen, that I didn't answer? Or is there any other one that...
To what extent would it cause taxi wars?
Taxi was, okay, I say again, there's 25,000, according to our stats, is 25,000, between 25,000 and 30,000 commuters going to the Eastern Cape from Western Cape alone. Realize that this model of us was, the taxi war was this, that it's only from 120 packs per day going to that. It's about 700 out of the 30,000 a day. The taxi war, which the question was there, that that's exactly where the taxi people came into the picture and says, they like the model, but they want to own the company. So that's where the Santago model then came into the picture and says, listen, yes, we like this thing, and because we would also like to embrace this flying business, but you can't have the airline, and so let us own the airline. And that's where they came in, and they are still, the taxi people are so interested in this thing, because they says, then they own their own airline, and they can say to their passengers, you know, I can take you to the airport and you can fly, because it's one ticket. Talking about the white people sitting around the table, that's one of the specific reasons that the knowledge out there still is so limited to the peri eyes, that, you know, that is why these two old white men still sit here to try to persuade the portfolio committee to listen to us and to give us a helping hand. And yes, we would like to the blessing from Parliament and support with finance. Not much, but because it's an IT business, but we do, if there's a possibility in that region, yes, we would love to see it.
Can I just say that we would wish to thank the two gentlemen presenters.
I think that's the most significant thing, and why it's the most significant thing is because we've been to all the airlines and they've told us the same thing. How do you differentiate your market so that we're not competing with ourselves? It's all about competing with themselves. Now, first of all, we know the one element is that the model is a standby model. It's a 48-hour model. When you want to fly to Johannesburg, so the current market that fly, they don't say, I'll wait until 48 hours before I find out whether I'm going to fly or not. It's just not something that happens. We do know that some of you, for example, you might have a son, my son would wait, because it's can they do that? But the most significant thing is what has been agreed with the airlines that we've spoken with is that if you could create a club mentality, which means that not anybody out there can just buy an airline ticket, they can only buy it if they have joined a specific club. It's the standby club. They can only purchase their tickets through the club, which means that we can, obviously, we're not going to be able to differentiate on race who joins the club, but we're going to be able to say, join, it's like saying, if you want these privileges from the ANC that are offering, then join the ANC. If you want the privileges that Standby is offering, then join Standby. And they get application forms and they fill them in accordingly. So we know that, this is an assumption, it's an economic assumption here, that we are going to be able to define that to about 65-70%. We'll never be 100%, but we know that we can define that with, and then because that system is being marketed within the previously disadvantaged environment, that's where it's going to be effective. 60-70%. You'll never get 100% on that.
Can I say I want us to close the debate?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If there are still further questions, you can take that outside the meeting. I'm not closing you the bilaterals. Otherwise, I want to thank everybody. Thank you to the department officials for your presentation, and thank you very much, members from Standby. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned until further notice. Thank you. You cannot.
Remember, even the program. Remember the program that I sent to everyone in that family. Even the letters you sent to them. No, no, at least kick someone just saying not intentionally. But then, and then I told this guy, hey, I don't say this thing.
That's what I was thinking. I was actually going to say that.
Because they wanted to change the thing.
And
after about 18 months, they So the best thing for them was to buy out. Look, I was part of this whole strategy and buy out, but still continue to buy flights, but then only buy
Thank you.